So I remember in Indiana, Fort Wayne, my favorite festival in Fort Wayne, Indiana was the Johnny Appleseed Festival. And that was because I get to wear a coonskin hat and I got to take my little gun and I got to go to Johnny Appleseed Festival. And I just loved dressing in character for that festival. I remember when we moved to New Jersey, I was so saddened that they wouldn't have a Johnny Appleseed Festival there. And I didn't know what I would do. And soon after moving to New Jersey, they had these wonderful things called strawberry festivals and blueberry festivals. And in moving to the Garden State, which New Jersey is known as, I was amazed how many festivals they had in New Jersey. See, I've always loved festivals. When we moved to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, we moved to a small little town called Kutztown. And I'm sure all of you have been to or have visited, or it's on your bucket list to visit the world's largest folk festival, because Kutztown, Pennsylvania has the folk festival. And I remember how excited I got about the folk festival. I was 12 years old, and they told me, hey, would you like to dress up like an Amish boy and wear like the suspenders and the white shirt and the Amish cap and like look Amish? And I was like, I'm totally in. Yeah, I'll be an Amish boy. And they're like, okay. So I was an Amish boy at the folk festival, and I made funnel cakes at the folk festival. I was the Amish boy making funnel cakes, and who doesn't like funnel cakes, right? And I got to make funnel cakes, and I loved that festival. When we moved here to Michigan, and we used to live on the east side, I had some friends, and they invited me to the Romeo Peach Festival. Have you been to the Romeo Peach Festival? And I was just like, yes, peaches. I thought only New Jersey had peaches, and Romeo had wonderful peaches, and I loved it. And this is really cool. At the Peach Festival, they do helicopter rides. I don't know what helicopters and peaches have to do with one another, but it's really cool. And so the Romeo Peach Festival, and then probably the one that a lot of you have been to, the Traverse City Cherry Festival. Have you been to the Cherry Festival? Oh my goodness. And now you know cherries. I just love cherries, and so I'm all into that. Summertime, we love our festivals. We love our fruit in the summer, don't we? Yesterday, beautiful afternoon, right? And the family is all playing out in the backyard, and we're dirty and sweaty, and comes time for dinner at night, and there's this bowl of pineapple on our table. And I go to bite in. You know, we're all sunburned and all that stuff. How good is fresh fruit on a summer day, on a summer night? There's just nothing better than that bowl of fresh fruit on the table. Maybe ice cream cake, but it's good. It's good. And it was pineapple. And it bit into it. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to eat like this whole bowl. You know, but my kids were like, no, 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 no. So I looked at my wife. I was like, this is great. Pineapple. Like, where'd you get the pineapple? And she's like, oh, I got that at Kroger. And she's like, there's these little pineapples. So we're calling this today the Fruits of the Holy Spirit Festival. And since I liked that pineapple last night at our dinner table, I thought, we need pineapples here. Did we get enough pineapples? I think so. There are 50 pineapples. Thank you, Preston. I wanted fresh pineapples. I wanted them as fresh as they could be. Preston went to Kroger this morning and bought out all of Kroger's pineapples this morning so that we could have fresh pineapples. And here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it's the Fruits of the Holy Spirit Festival 2014. We've never done that here at our church before, but I would be willing to say that we could call today Pineapple Festival Day, and that would be accurate for us. Welcome to the Pineapple Festival, okay? And it's wonderful. And just so you know now, you don't have to go to Kroger to get a pineapple, because I had more requests for pineapples today than any other requests. People are like, hey, are you gonna give those pineapples out? Hey, do we get a pineapple today? Can we get a pineapple today? And just so you know, you don't have to rush to Kroger, because what I'd like for every family that's able, I'd like for each family today to receive a pineapple for your family. So hopefully 50 pineapples covers 50 families here, and we're good, and everyone can walk out with a pineapple today. So please make sure that you do that. I know, you want your pineapple right now, don't you? Okay. Maggie has been like, please, please, let me have my pineapple. You can have a pineapple right now. So come on up and get your pineapple. You know what we'll do? That's a good thing. And I know when we dismiss, I'm going to do a benediction. I'm sorry. So listen, here it is. Let's do this. At this time, let's have everyone come forward and get their pineapple for their family. Okay? So come forward. Get a pineapple for your family. Make sure you have it. It's hard to look at them and go, oh, man, it's easier to walk out with it than come forward at the end. So for logistic purposes, here it is. So, you know, FUMC, Fruits of the Holy Spirit Festival 2014 and Pineapple Fest. Here it is, Pineapple Fest right here. Hey, Preston got a lot of interesting questions this morning at Kroger buying 50 pineapples, didn't you, Preston? Preston looked very suspicious, but thank you for doing it, Preston. We appreciate it. Appreciate it. Oh, yeah. I hope that pineapple you just got is sweet as the one I had last night. Let me tell you. And just so you know, here's the beautiful part last night. Good, sweet pineapple, right? About 8 o'clock at night, just hits the spot. I looked at my wife, I was like, oh, man, that's so good. And I said, you got to go buy more of that. My wife looked at me and said, how much more pineapple do you want? I was like, I don't know, bag full. Go get a bag full of pineapple. She's like, okay, I'll get a bag full of pineapple. She can't get it now because I know what Kroger she goes to and you bought all of it. But here's the beautiful thing. My wife's like, I'll buy all the pineapple you want. She's like, those pineapples? I was like, yeah, those are 99 cents right now. 99 cents at Kroger. So 50 of them. You get 50 pineapples when they're 99 cents. So thank you very much. We got a series going on summertime. Last week we talked about pools and how we identify with pools in the summer. And today we're talking about fruit and how we love our summertime fruit. We're talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit today. Today's Pentecost Sunday. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians 5:22 kind of spreads the table as we've done here. It spreads the table of the fruit of the Holy Spirit and lays it out there and kind of says, these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And by no way, if you didn't want a pineapple, I didn't mean to exclude those who might want a banana or an apple or an orange. So if you're like, I'll take a banana, like an apple and an orange, you may help yourself as well to that fruit. But we're going to be digging into the summertime fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because we love summer and fruit, and they go together. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against these things, there is no law. She was a single mother with little child, pregnant with another child. And she had gotten herself in a mess. She was not in a good position in life. Her family had given up on her with the pregnancy of the second child from a second different father. Her family had given up on her. She actually had nowhere to turn. Her friends had given up on her. She came to our church on a Sunday morning out of pure desperation. She had been living in her car for almost a week with a little child and pregnant. For one reason or another, she didn't meet the criteria for the housing shelters there in that community, which were limited to begin with. She was on a wait list for many more. It wasn't a good position to be in life. And before she left our town of Champaign, Illinois, she thought that she would give it one last shot before she had to say goodbye, and she didn't know where she'd be off her next journey. So she pulled in our church that morning, and after church, she shared the story with my parents of where she was at in life and how God had directed her there to that church, mostly out of desperation more than anything else. She informed that she didn't expect anything but maybe more than some gas money to help her get on her way and maybe go find another community where she could get some help. My parents' hearts were unexpectedly and filled by the Holy Spirit, as they'll tell you, is filled by the Holy Spirit with love for her. That in those moments after church, as she shared the story and my parents got to know her, it was not a love of their own, but a love that came from the Holy Spirit to them. A love filled their hearts for her. And that afternoon, my parents gave me a little bit of heads up, and we had lunch, and they said, you need a little bit of time to prepare for this, but we're going to have a woman moving into our house. And she's got a little child, a little girl, and she's pregnant. And I knew who they were talking about. And they're like, so we need you to clear out this room and make some room, and we're going to be making some arrangements for her to come live with us today. And I remember her and her family coming into our house and living with us for the next 6 months to get her feet on the ground. My parents started helping her. She lived there, and what an experience. But my parents' hearts were filled with a love, not of their own, but of the Holy Spirit, to help this woman along her way in life. And to this day, when people will say to me, what do you love most about ministry? Do you love youth ministry? Do you love hospital visits? What do you love most about ministry? I can only say the thing I love most about ministry is just people. I just love people. I'll do anything in ministry because it's always people, and I just love people. And that love that I have in my heart is a love that has come to me because of the love that through my parents and the Holy Spirit widening and expanding their hearts. And that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, is love. And I will tell you that every church like us that loves people in real ways, in spirit-filled ways, every church that does that is a church that's loved by its community. It's loved by its community. Another fruit of the Holy Spirit, there are many there, but another fruit I'd like to highlight is peace. One of our church members was in a very difficult situation not too long ago with a huge company in Detroit. And things are very tense there. And he was sharing with me that he and his coworker, there was nothing but hostility and nothing but potential for head-to-head, and there was going to be some massive fallout because these two guys were just going to go head-to-head. And he was ready to go head-to-head because, as he shared with me, he felt like he had some more experience, he felt he had better relationships, and he felt like they could go head-to-head, and this guy would lose, and the fallout would be on his side and not on his side, and at the end of the day, it would cost this guy his job and not him his job. And so he's talking to me about this, and he said, I kid you not, he said, I was there in the corporate office, and he said, and I was white-knuckled, and I was ready to do this. I was ready to send the email that would put this into effect. He said, I was ready. It was typed, and all I had to do was do send, and once I did that, it would set this in motion, and we would go head-to-head, and there would be war, corporate war. He said, but I don't know what it was. He said, but I felt the Spirit. I felt something, not of my own capabilities, tell me, stop. Don't do it. And he said, I was sat there in my chair between just that distance of sin. And he said, and I felt the Spirit. I felt a Spirit from outside of myself, because it wasn't something I could garner within myself. It was the Holy Spirit brought this passion of peace upon me. And the Holy Spirit said, I don't want you to do this. I do not want you to do this. I want you to seek peace. I want you to be a peace builder. And he said that the Holy Spirit stopped him from pushing sin. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And this member's, his decision to seek and try to build peace and to have peace with this person instead of war was noticed by his coworkers, by his closest assistant. She noticed that what he was trying to do, and his seeking peace there in that corporate office has deeply impacted his coworkers and his assistant. And his example of faith is beginning to sow a sense of peace and health there that was not there before. Churches that seek, churches that work towards and advocate peace are admired by their communities. Another fruit of the Spirit is kindness. An affluent church in northern suburb of Chicago is very affluent. I mean, when you build a $196 million sanctuary, $196 million sanctuary, you're pretty affluent. And this very affluent congregation, its eyes were opened to those who were not as affluent. And it happened for that affluent northern suburb church, Chicago, when that family drove into the parking lot, their car died in the church parking lot. It kind of like just barely got in there. The muffler's loud, and the car looks like it's been through World War II and made it back. And a church member notices the disrepair of that car, and that church begins to say, hey, What would happen if we as a church started helping people in this situation, good working people who just need some help? What would happen if we started fixing cars for them because they can't afford the parts, they can't afford the repairs? What would happen for that single mom whose car is just on the brink of breaking down, and when it breaks down, she's out of a car and she can't work? So that affluent church began a ministry to repair cars for families and single mothers who are in that situation. Now they have a big auto shop there. And that church will tell you that the Holy Spirit opened their eyes to the needs of the community, and they have been gifting their community with kindness by repairing cars. Kind churches, and you'll agree with this, kind churches are deeply appreciated by their communities. The last fruit of the Spirit I'm going to highlight, there are many more I could, but last would be joy. Joy. Every year, annually, we recognize graduates for Graduate Recognition Sunday. And some of you were just in there, right? And some of you have experienced it. And I'll remember my first Graduate Recognition Sunday that I was in the sanctuary over there, and I'm always a little scared over there because I'm scared I'm going to do something I shouldn't do. And I'm scared I'm going to get in trouble. And it happens. And I don't know if it's because the first time I ever preached in there, I rode a bike down the center of the aisle at the end of my sermon, and that didn't go over well, but it's just always been pins and needles for me over there. And I remember it was Graduate Recognition Sunday, and I felt like I would call the seniors. I was going to call the seniors forward. I was right up there behind the podium. A pastor, Jack, was there in the choir, and I'm like, I got to behave. And I'm like, I'm going to call the graduates forward. I'm going to do so in like an official manner. And the Holy Spirit's like, really? That's what you're going to do? Seriously? You're just going to call them forward in a, like a formal, appropriate manner? Like, that's the, seriously. Like, I'm standing there. I'm ready to do it. I want to be a good boy. And I don't want to get in trouble. But the Holy Spirit's like, you can't turn it up better than that. You can't do better than just like dryly announce their name and have them come forward and give them Bible. Like, you can't do something better than that. And it's like, what do you want me to do? And the Holy Spirit's like, why don't you just rock this place? I mean, announce their name. Like, let's get some hoorahs in here. You know, let's get some go Sparties. Let's get some go Blue. You know, all that stuff. Let's get it going on. And so I did, and we announced, right? We started announcing the graduates. And I said, come on, let's hear it for Michigan. And come on, let's hear it for State. And that place started becoming like a, you know, got a little out of hand in there. And it got loud, but people were cheering on. And you know what? And that was a moment where I will never forget, where the Holy Spirit looked at my heart and looked at me, and he went, that's all you're going to do? That's nothing. Anybody, come on, take it up a notch. Aren't you excited about these kids and what they've accomplished? And the Holy Spirit, not me, but from without me, the Holy Spirit filled me with this energy and this sense of courage to do something. And because we did that, there was joy. There was joy in that place. There was excitement. A few weeks ago, a mother, her daughter just graduated this year. A mother stopped me in the hallway and she said, Chad, and I went, what? She said, Graduate Recognition Sunday. I went, yeah. She said, do you know what I told one of my friends the other day? I went, what? She said, one of my friends doesn't go to church. Their family doesn't go to church. I went, okay. She said, I looked at them and I said, our church rocks. And she's like, our neighbor's like, what do you mean? And she's like, our church rocks. And she told her neighbor what we did, and, you know, go, 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 and root them on, and joy, joy, joy. And she's just like, and my neighbor's looking at me going, you did that in a sanctuary? And she's like, yeah, we did that in sanctuary. And listen, that member here at our church, when she said our church rocks, just the joy, the excitement, the happiness. The churches that are joyful are celebrated in their communities. And today, as many of you know, it's Pentecost Sunday. It's when we celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. And I'll invite you to go ahead and take your Bibles to Acts. Take it to the book of Acts. Go to chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. But this is the day the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles, and things get hot for the church. The church gets like summertime hot. And here it is, starting verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. I'll expand on that. To the sharing of pineapple. It's prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. They know that this these wonders and this awe is not from within, but it's coming down upon them. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Tell me you do not want to be a part of that church, right? You want to be a part of that church. That the Holy Spirit comes down upon the church, and the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to heat things up. You are going to be a church on the move. That the Holy Spirit comes down upon this group of apostles and these believers and just fills their church. And numbers are added. Members are added to that church daily. You want to know why? Because people love Spirit-filled churches. People love Spirit-filled churches. People are hungry for Spirit-filled churches. People are dying and they are looking for Spirit-filled churches. That member, when she told her neighbor about what we did in the sanctuary and that we do other things like that in our church, she looked at me and said, my neighbor said, I'll go. She said, all these years, we've been living this close together and I never did this until then. And she said, as soon as I showed that, her neighbor looked at her and said, we'll go to your church. Because people are looking for Spirit-filled churches. Members, new people were added to their church daily because people find new life in Spirit-filled churches. Did you know that? People were being saved. We're coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ because people find new life in Spirit-filled churches. Spirit-filled churches are hot. They're hot. The UMC symbol of the flame. You know the flame, right? And the dove? I mean, that's hot, isn't it? I mean, you could be like telling people like, we're Methodists and we got like a hot symbol. I mean, our church is like hot. Because we got the flame, we got the dove, we're red, you know, red, and we got it going on. My jeans today are in honor of a longstanding tradition that I came into at this church. And this church used to, on Pentecost Sunday, FUMC, used to encourage all of its members to wear red. How many of you remember this? You would wear red on Pentecost Sunday, and we would do that here at the church. And I remember my first year coming in, and I was just like, oh, I don't have anything red. And then someone looked at me and said, you better go get something. And I said, I will. And I went and got red. And so every Pentecost Sunday now, I wear red jeans. But that's the red deal, you know. And we used to wear red here on Pentecost. And do you know what else we used to wear on Pentecost? We used to have cake, Holy Spirit cake. Isn't that cool? You remember that? And you'd have cake. And then on Pentecost Sunday, just to top it off, come in red, you eat cake, and then do you know how you cap off Pentecost here? It used to be. It'd be a big red balloon launch. How many of you remember the big red balloon launches and just see all those balloon launches? And Pentecost was a celebration. It was exciting. It was kind of like, hey, we're a hot church. Wear red, launch red, eat red. We're red through and through. And this series called Summertime is being put forth. Putting forth the series Summertime with the question, what if our summertime activities could heat up our spiritual lives? What if as Christians we could heat up in the summer? Not cool down, not be lukewarm, but what if we were to heat it up in the summer? So that our spiritual lives were to be more in unison with the season of which we find ourselves. What would it look like for you and I to take a different approach and have a different perspective on this summer? I mean, we traditionally know what summer is. Last week, I was talking to somebody about our series, Summertime, and I was going to challenge people to heat it up spiritually. Let's heat it up. Let's see what we can do. And someone looked at me and they honestly said, after I explained it to them before Shine what I was going to do, they looked at me and they said, you're kidding, right? You're not actually going to do that, right? I was like, yeah, that's our series, Summertime. And they're like, yeah, okay, great. And I know they're going to be in the sanctuary all this month because they did not want any of this summertime stuff where I'm going to be challenging you to heat it up spiritually. I mean, I know summertime is me time usually, isn't it? Summertime is me time. It's me time because when a member can come up to me and unapologetically look at me and say, hey, Chad, yeah, got a big smile on his face. And he looks at me and says, you'll see me in the fall. I'll see you in the fall. Why will I see you in the fall? Because I'm out of here. It's summertime. And I'm going to be somewhere else on Sunday mornings in the summer. I know where he's going to be. There you go. I'll see you in the fall. That's me time. And a lot of us, we treat summer as me time. I keep telling people there's 100 days of summer. You don't have to be a great mathematician. No, that's 30% of your year. That's 30% of your year. So if you take summer off and go, that's me time, you're taking 30% of your year off as a Christian. And so the challenge is to heat it up. I know summertime is usually our time. I know it is. There was a family here last week, and they told me they go up north every weekend. They can go to their cottage. They're there. And I get it. They pay for it. They love it. And it's great. And I understand. And I know where their cottage is at. And believe me, every temptation and fiber in my body could be like, I'll go hang out with you right there at the cottage. But they looked at me and they said, so we're going to be gone a lot this summer after I did summertime. And they said, but here's the thing. And this is where they got me. And they said, but for the first time ever as a family, when we go up to the cottage this summer, we're going to go to church. On Sunday morning, we're going to go to church. They said, for all the years we've gone to the cottage, we've taken the kids up. Our routine has been to wake up late on Sunday morning, pancakes. We just don't go to church at all. We don't do it. And the parents said, but this summer, as a family, we're going to go to college. We're going to have a great time. We're going to do everything we always do. But we're going to go to church because we need to do that as a family. That's our passion. That's what we love to do as a family. We love to worship. So as families take on a summertime challenge, and they're going to do it. Listen, I know summertime is me time. I know it's traditionally our time. I'm just asking the question because Spirit wants me to ask a question. What would happen if our spiritual activities heated up our summer? It's very real. I got an invitation by a community organization, and it came via email. Their invitation to me was, hey, Chad, we know in the past that you have participated, but we would really like to know if you would participate in some of our summertime activities. And so I looked at the email. It was an invitation to participate in summer activities. The first summer activity coming up is the movie Frozen. Who doesn't love the movie Frozen, right? I mean, my goodness. So we have a community organization that goes in the summer to Booth Park, and they show family-friendly movies at Booth Park. And June 20th on a Friday night, if you go to Booth Park with your family, there'll be a huge screen. They're going to be showing Frozen, and it's free. And then when you go there, there's all kinds of stands, and people give you free stuff, right? Well, it just so happens, I'm looking at the invitation. They get 1,000 people. They get 1,000 people at these family nights. So 1,000 people will go to Booth Park to watch a movie. So it's a great place to be. And I know my kids love Frozen, and Frozen's going to be packed out, especially if it's the sing-along version. If it's sing-along Frozen, forget it. But the first date is June 20th. I looked at the date. I looked at the invitation. I said, sorry, that's not going to work. I did. I'm honest. And just went past that email and went on with my day, went on with my work. Until I'm in my office and the Holy Spirit says, so why are you passing up on that invitation? Not me, but the Holy Spirit. Why are you passing up on that invitation? There's 1,000 people there, young families, children. Why would you not want to be there? Why would you not want to be a part of that event? And I go, it's me time. It's a Friday night. And I'm going on a mission trip Sunday. I'm leaving on a mission trip Sunday. And I'm going to be gone all week on a mission trip. And I want that Friday night for me. And I want that Friday night for my family. And I just want to do what we want to do. And the Holy Spirit's like, it's an opportunity to be present, impact people, to get out there. Let's heat it up, warrior. Let's heat it up. So on June 20th, Shine is going to be at movie night in the park for Frozen. On June 20th, we're going to be there. We're going to have a stand. We're going to have Shine. We're going to have our Shine representation out there. We're going to be serving Capri Suns. We're going to be serving kids Capri Suns, right? And people can come and get Capri Suns. And Kristen and I, we talked about this. Kristen, wave your hand. Kristen's going to be there. If you would like to help Kristen and me serve families, Capri Suns, and be out and be a part of our community and show the fruit of the Holy Spirit of Capri Sun that night on June 20th. See Kristen after the service. And after I committed to June 20th, the Spirit said, hey, what about another one? And then we're going to do August 8th. We're going to be back for another movie night, and we're going to represent Shine. We're going to get Shine out there in community, and we're going to gift parents and kids with something else. Because the Holy Spirit wants us to heat things up. The Holy Spirit wants us to step up. The Holy Spirit wants us to be active this summer to help build his kingdom in what's traditionally me time and our time. Galatians 5:25, the fruits of the Holy Spirit passage, says this: since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I'll tell you what, the Spirit does not slow down. And he definitely doesn't slow down for summertime. Like, the Holy Spirit doesn't get a piece of mail, and someone mail the Holy Spirit and go, hey, Holy Spirit, it's summertime. You can chill. For 100 days, you can just take a break. The Holy Spirit doesn't get that letter. He doesn't get that memo. He's on the move. He wants us to constantly be on the move. He wants us to be active. He wants us to be working for him and in step with him. So that is the challenge that we're going to be doing this summer, is keep in step with the Holy Spirit, to be working, to be moving, to be helping build his kingdom this summer. Because the church can be built in the summer. The Holy Spirit can accomplish a lot through us in the summer. Do you know what the fact is for nonprofits like Cass Community? Do you know what the fact is for places like Baldwin? Do you know what the fact is for a lot of people in the inner city, a lot of people who are dependent upon nonprofit ministries? The fact is, in the summer, they barely survive. They barely survive. Do you know that come summertime, a lot of our nonprofits barely have any food in food pantries? And a lot of times it's day-to-day existence for them. Because guess what happens in the summer? Everyone takes off. Everyone stops giving, everybody stops serving. And our nonprofits barely survive through the summer. They barely survive. I had a director of a nonprofit say to me, she said, keep all of your members away at Christmas time and Thanksgiving. But send them in the summer. Because everybody's coming at Thanksgiving and everybody's coming at Christmas. And we're barely surviving in the summer. We need all of your members in the summer, not at the holidays. Nonprofits barely survive. Do you know that a lot of churches barely survive in the summer? Barely. Not a joke. There are a lot of churches that are on that close to going under. They're that close because the summer is that deadly of a time for them. Because people don't go to worship, people don't give. And churches get that close. A lot of churches barely make it through summer. And a lot of times churches that don't make it, they couldn't make it through the summer. They had to close shop. Summer can be a dangerous time for ministry. What are we going to do this summer? What's our summertime? What's your summertime story going to be? Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to have you? Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you? Are you going to get hot this summer as a Christian? Let's get hot as a church. Let's get hot as Christians. When everyone wants to cool down and chill and go take vacation, why don't we challenge ourselves saying, a little bit vacation? Yeah. A few days here and there? Yeah, that's great. Family time here? That's great. Me time here? That's great. But wow, God and others' time? There's time for that too. And this is going to be the summer to do that. I'll ask you to stand to receive the benediction. The benediction comes from the song that you heard earlier in worship. And that song was Build Your Kingdom Here. The words from Build Your Kingdom Here are our benediction this morning. The words were, set your church on fire, that's us. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty-changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Maybe so with us. Let's get hot with the Holy Spirit this summer. May his peace, may his power be upon you and be with you. And may we stay in step with the ever-moving Holy Spirit. In his name, amen. And come get some fruit, too.